Good afternoon. I'm calling this tax meeting for January 24th to order. I will note that we do have a quorum of the committee present. Vice Chair Norris, have you had a chance to review the minutes from our January 19th meeting?
I would like to move the minutes from our January 19th meeting.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Is there any discussion on that motion? Not seeing any. All those in favor of approving the minutes as submitted, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Please say no. That motion carries, and the minutes for January 19th, 2023 are adopted. So we have one bill in front of our committee today, House File 9, which Representative Katiza Watoon is joining us to present that bill. And Chair Pinto is going to move that House File 9 be laid over for possible inclusion in the tax bill. Is that your motion, Chair?
It is, Madam Chair.
Great. So, Representative Katiza Watoon, welcome to the Tax Committee. Great to see you. Did you want to present your bill first or take up the author's amendment?
Madam Chair, if we could take up the author's amendment first, that would be great, and I can
Excellent.
Talk about the bill as amended.
So Representative Katiza Watoon has an author's amendment, which is labeled DE1. I'll move the DE1 amendment to put the bill in the form that the author wants. I think since it's a DE, we're just going to allow Representative Katiza Watoon kind of to present it as her bill. So is there any discussion on the motion on the DE1? Not seeing any. All those in favor of the amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion prevails, and the amendment is adopted. So Representative Katiza Watoon, to your DE1, which is basically your bill.
Thank you, Chair Gomez. And members, we've known for some time that our child care system is broken. Parents can't afford to pay more for care. Early childhood educators and child care providers are struggling to support their own families on low wages, and the pandemic exacerbated all of these issues. There are myriad families across the state of Minnesota who pay as much, if not twice as much, their mortgage payment in child care. Just a few years ago, when my family, we had three children under the age of five, that was my reality. In addition, now we are facing a critical workforce shortage. We saw a disproportionate number of parents, especially women, leave the workforce in order to care for children or help educate their children during the pandemic. Young workers are often young parents with young children. And currently in the Midwest, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Wisconsin offer no state-based child care tax credit. Iowa actually does offer two options for taxpayers with an annualized income under $45,000. House File 9, which we're calling the Great Start Child Care Tax Credit, says to families with young children, you're welcome in Minnesota. We want you to live, work, and raise your families here, and we will help you do it. Until a child turns five and is eligible to begin kindergarten, public investment, either at the state or the federal level, is really marginal at best. While some temporary programs have in the past provided some assistance to young families, no permanent relief has been passed up to this point. I recognize that this is not a one-size-fits-all situation. We do have a very complicated system of supports in place for families across Minnesota, but the Great Start Child Care Tax Credit helps to fill a hole for middle-class, middle-income families that don't qualify for many of those current public programs. So the Minnesota legislature has the opportunity to do what no other state has done up to this point and expand our current dependent care credit into the Great Start Child Care and Dependent Care Credit. Here is how we will do it. Currently, families with one child are only able to claim up to $3,000 of child care related costs, and families with two or more children are only able to claim up to $6,000 of child care related costs. Larger families are provided no additional benefit. House File 9, as amended, the Great Start Child Care Tax Credit will allow families with one child under the age of five to claim up to $10,000 in child care related costs. Families with two young children can claim up to $20,000 in child care related expenses, and families with three or more children may claim an additional $5,000 for a total of $25,000 of child care related expenses. The Great Start CDCC is refundable. The credit will cover 50% of these costs until the taxpayer's annual gross income exceeds $125,000, at which point it phases down to covering 20% of eligible costs. And after annual gross income exceeds $400,000, the covered percentage phases down to zero. Only one credit can be claimed per household. For children under the age of one, the maximum amount of qualifying expenses is assumed. This is to reflect the unique challenges of raising and caring for a newborn, as well as the much higher costs of childcare for the very young. I worked closely with former chair, now Commissioner Markwart, and our knowledgeable House research staff on this language, and it was carried by Senator Pratt last biennium. The proposal is scalable, and it was included in the bipartisan conference committee report. I do believe this committee will be learning more about the administration's proposed changes to the existing child care and dependent care credit, maybe even this week. But by design, this bill not only lifts up Minnesota children and families, but is a much needed support to our economy as we continue to rebound from the pandemic. So, Madam Chair, with that, I would invite our testifiers to share their thoughts, and I will stand for questions.
Thank you so much, Representative Katiza Watun. So I think first, we have a couple of testifiers. First we have Ms. Amina Adan.
Madam Chair.
Oh, yeah, excuse me, Representative Davids.
There's folks testify for it. Is there anyone that wants to testify with concerns in the audience?
Well, we're going to...
Thank you, Madam Chair. It should be a very short testimony.
Yeah, we'll go to the testifiers who are signed up, and then after that, if there's other people in the room who wish to testify either in favor or against, we'll allow for that also. Ms. Adan, if you wouldn't mind coming up. Welcome to the committee. Please just introduce yourself for the record and then go ahead with your testimony.
Good afternoon, Chair Gomez and members of the committee. My name is Amina Adan. I'm a leader with Kids Count on Us. I'm here to testify in the favor of House File 9 and the Great Start Child Care Credit. I appreciate this opportunity and would like to thank the author of the bill, Representative Katiza Watun. Thank you very much. I am a mother of four children. I also work in a school with a high percentage of low-income families. I know the burden placed on Minnesota families of young children as parents try to balance working and providing for families and affording child care. I remember when I was a mother of only three kids and I had to work three jobs to be able to feed my kids. It is important to me to make sure that they had a better start than I did as an immigrant refugee. But a parent should not need one job for each child. A parent should be able to work only one full-time job and still be able to afford child care and provide for their children. The Great Start Child Care Credit will make sure this is possible. In Minnesota, high-quality child care can cost at least $12,000 per year for one child and often closer to $15,000. For low-income families and for middle-class families, this is a huge amount of their budget. For families with more than one young child, paying for childcare becomes impossible. The high cost of childcare has kept many parents out of the workforce because of the cost of care is more than what they would earn. Increasing the eligible childcare expenses sustainably will make a huge difference for all families, and especially for families who have multiple young children. I urge all of you to support House File 9 and to lift some of that burden of childcare costs for young parents at a time when they all need the help they can get. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining the committee, Ms. Adan. We appreciate your testimony. Next up, we have Mr. Brian Cow, I believe. Thank you. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair Gomez, and good afternoon, members of the committee. My name is Brian Gao. I'm a father of two children, one aged 16 month old and one that's 9 years old. I'm here to testify in support of House File 9 and the Great Start Child Care Tax Credit. I also like to thank Representative Katiza Watun Thank you for bringing this bill. My 16-month-year-old recently started daycare, as both my wife and I work full-time, which is the case for the majority of many Minnesotans, Minnesota families. Up until this time, she was cared for by her grandparents, who are in their 70s. We didn't put her into child care as an infant because we needed to save money. Infant care costs more than toddler care, which in turn costs more than preschool care. Additionally, infant care spots are more difficult to find. We were lucky to have grandparents who could care for her, but one shouldn't need luck to afford child care. One shouldn't need luck to be able to find a child care spot, or luck to be able to go to work or school just to pursue one's career goal and to provide for one's family. Affordable child care should not be something that a family gets only if they are lucky. It should be available to every Minnesota family, no matter what they look like or where they live. Currently, full-time care for my daughter is $295 per week. That's about $15,000 per year. In comparison, tuition at the U of M is about $16,000. The Great Start Child Care Tax Credit would at least make a dent into that price, enabling families to have a little bit more breathing room, trying to make ends meet when their children are young. We all contribute towards a system, a public school system, that begins at age five, and that is when that started when we used to have a village that used to take care of our kids. We don't have a village anymore. Most families need to have both parents work full-time in order to make ends meet. As I look around to my friends and family, all of them are in the same boat, and they're working as well. We're unable to rely on each other for help. So our only option is to use a child care system that desperately needs additional funding and transformation so that it's affordable for all families. It provides high-quality care for children and compensates teachers fairly for the incredible work that they do. My hope is that the Great Child Care Tax Credit is a step to that vision. I know it would help my family and thousands of others as we try to manage our work, our time with our children, and our expenses. I urge you to vote in favor of this tax credit so that, as its name implies, more of Minnesota's children can get off to a great start. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Gao. We'll have an opportunity for more testifiers, but Representative Swedzinski, did you have a question or comment?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Just kind of going, just as the testimony was being laid out there, talking about the grandparents taking care of the child, in Section 425, deemed expenses, it specifically lays out on line 2.6, taxable year cared for a licensed family daycare home. In order to qualify for this, do you have to receive child care through only a licensed daycare, or could you foreseeably recoup expenses incurred by potentially reimbursing grandparents?
Rep. Katiza Watun, I'll go to you just a moment. Can you just orient me to the lines you're talking about? You said 2.6. Is it in the DE? Subdivision 2C. Okay, perfect. Thank you. Line 4.25. In the DE, just so everybody's looking at the same thing. Thank you. Representative Katiza Watun.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Swedzinski, thank you for that question. I'm just rereading the section here. So your question is whether or not the child care provider is like a friend, family, and neighbor, or if it has to be a licensed child care provider. Okay.
Rep. Katiza Watun, I want to give you a chance but to reply if you'd like, but I also, nonpartisan staff, I think, can assist a little bit with this question.
Thank you. Yeah, as I just kind of reviewed this language, I think that would probably be beneficial.
Perfect. Thank you, Representative Katiza Watun. Mr. Klayman.
Madam Chair and Representative Swedzinski, so that particular provision that you're seeing on line 4.26, deemed expenses, that's just a provision that relates to It's just some regulation. It's under current law right now. It's just kind of being moved from one section to another. And what that does is it says that you can still get the dependent care credit if you operate a daycare and you're a parent and your child's at the daycare, but only subject to the limits that are specifically in that deemed expenses provision. So it's just for that particular scenario.
Representative Swinzinski.
Madam Chair, thank you. So thank you, Mr. Clement. So that is just to lay out, so the parent operate, so if let's say the parent had child care expenses related to not that situation, would they be able to qualify?
Mr. Clement.
Yep. So Madam Chair, Representative Swinzinski, so in the bill, outside of that situation, you'd want to look at what are called the employment-related expenses. That's on line 3.7 in the bill, and that would be defined by whatever is allowed federally under the credit. And right now, I apologize, I can't tell you specifically an answer to your question on that, but I can certainly look into it and get back to the committee on that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That'd be great, Mr. Clement. Obviously some of these things operate from a federal regulatory standpoint, and how much of the federal tax does our child care tax credit conform to the federal? Do we have anything that expands beyond that, or is ours pretty much a federally tight consumption? And you can get back to me on that.
Yeah, so Representative Swinzinski, Mr. Clayman's actually doing a pinch hitting for Mr. Williams, who's the one who's been working on this, so there might be some stuff that he's going to have to get back to us about. Mr. Clayman, I don't know if this qualifies for that category, if you had any response to Representative Swinzinski now.
Madam Chair, briefly, Representative Swinzinski, I think one thing to point out on that is that what this particular bill does is it decouples further from how the state was currently is coupled to that dependent care credit. So, and it makes a lot of changes as a result of that. So the credit rate's different and so forth.
Madam Chair, if I may.
Yes, Representative Katiza-Watoon.
Thank you. I just did want to briefly address, I think, the question being if grandparents were caring for the children. I'm certainly willing to continue conversations with Mr. Williams, who has been so supportive as we drafted this language, but also with you, Representative Swinzinski. I'm a huge supporter of friend, family, and neighbor care, and so whether or not the families would So people pay different amounts, and I know Representative Howard has a bill particularly regarding friend, family, and neighbor care that we've heard previously in the Early Childhood Committee. But if they need to have a certain amount of receipts or whether or not you're asking if they would qualify for the tax credit even if they weren't paying a child care provider, I just want to kind of clarify.
Representative Swinzinski.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. And to Representative Katiza-Watoon, it would be either way. Let's say you had a scenario where you actually housing the grandparents, and they were essentially in a grandma pod or whatever you want to call them. Those would be a potentially exchangeable, a service for fee within the family. And so there's many different ways that you could construct this that would, one, be actual physical revenue that's shared between the agreement, or that would be a non-licensed scenario, or simply an in-kind type of situation that you are, as the parent, incurring some sort of a cost, but not necessarily, the real cost, hourly.
Representative Katiza-Watoon, did you?
Yeah, no, I appreciate the clarification and the question.
Okay, so I know Representative Robbins, I know you have a question. Is it okay if I just call for other testifiers and we can kind of then move to, okay, great, discussion of the bill. So if there's anybody else who wishes to testify on House File 9, please step forward. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony.
Chair Gomez, members of the Tax Committee, my name is Eric Bernstein, and I am Policy Director for We Make Minnesota, which is a coalition of labor and community groups. Some of our members support this bill, and we in general really appreciate the effort to increase assistance to families who are struggling to afford child care. But I'm here today to just share a couple of sort of broader points about our child care system and our concerns about tax credits being used in this manner to resolve what we feel are broader social issues. The U.S. spends 0.3% of its GDP on child care, compared to an average in the EU of 0.7%, and in some countries up to 1.3%. There's obviously a lot of information out there about how important early childhood development is to later outcomes in life, health outcomes, education outcomes, economic outcomes. And we feel that it's very important to capitalize on this now in Minnesota, especially in light of looming demographic changes that people are talking about a lot with a shrinking workforce. Universal programs are a great way to ensure access to these sorts of things. Problem with tax credits is that that's money to families who spend money on childcare, but not necessarily the extension of the benefit of childcare to families that can't afford it. Benefits of childcare, universal childcare, are that it's available to everyone and that every child can have a good start in life. And when we, you know, reimburse people for what they've spent, we leave out those people who didn't have the funds to spend or who couldn't wait for a tax credit to come back. That's not to say this is a bad thing to do, but, you know, it's just to point out the flaw in the system there. Quality is also an important issue. There was studies recently that sort of called into question a little bit the developments of or the benefits of brain development because those studies didn't all control for quality. So you have to be in good quality childcare, and so that means ensuring that workers are paid well, that facilities are staffed well. And this, you know, this proposal on its own, and I know it's not meant to, won't resolve all of those issues. So we just, because we think about our budget and our revenues in a broader sense, we'd just like to point out the use of tax credits to sort of patch up systems that really are needed for everyone. And so this won't address the supply, and it could actually lead to increased prices. I mean, I think that's a bit of a far-flung argument, but it's one that people make, that this won't also address the cost issue or the sort of labor compensation issue. So it's a good bill that's going to help a lot of people, and it might make Minnesota a comparatively appealing place to live. But another way to do that is to provide universal child care like they do in every other or most other developed economies in the world. That's all I had. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Bernstein, for your testimony. Now, to discussion on the bill, we'll go first to Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative. I just wanted to follow up just to be very clear on where Representative Kuczynski was going. The bill does not discriminate on licensed versus unlicensed child care in the current form.
Representative Katiza Watoon.
That would be my intention. Yes.
Great, thank you.
Representative Robbins, go ahead. Yep.
And then if you could also just, I'm not an expert on this, I don't know much about it, honestly, so I'm just interested to know how this decoupling with the federal child care tax credit, is it?
Representative Katiza Watoon, and we can ask Mr. Klayman if you think that's better. Yeah,
I think my intention would just be that we go above and beyond what is offered at the federal level and really support Minnesotans to the greatest extent that we can. But if Mr. Klayman has any specifics to share about the policy level, that would be great.
Great. Thanks, Representative Katiza Watoon. Mr. Klayman.
Madam Chair and members, Representative Robbins. So I think maybe a good kind of comparison would be to look at the description of the federal dependent care credit that's in the revenue estimate for this bill and compare that to what's in the overview section of the House research summary. And so the credit rate, so what the DE1 would do is the credit rate would be increased, the phase outs would be different, and the maximum amount of the credit would also be increased as well. So I think those are the three main changes that the decoupling does under this bill.
Madam Chair,
Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Klayman, on that. Just a kind of a general question. So, you know, obviously what we did with this DE amendment, we changed the levels in which certain things kick into place, Representative, but also changed the amount. Will this bill solve the problem?
Representative Katiza Watoon.
Thank you, Chair Gomez and Representative Swedzinski, for your question. This bill on its own is not going to solve the problem that Minnesota families are facing, but it's a help.
Representative Swedzinski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just, you know, if you could wave a magic wand, Representative, how large do you think the tax credit would be that could?
Representative Katiza Watun.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And, you know, in some of our discussions, just between the two of us, I think, you know, if we were to wave a magic wand, it wouldn't look like this. It wouldn't look like a tax credit, much to the point of the previous testifier. We would be looking at potentially universal child care option, subsidies for parents who want to stay home and raise their children in lieu of a potential paid family and medical leave program, increasing wages for child care providers. It would look a lot like the House File 1 from 2019. We're continuing to have ongoing discussion about what that looks like in Chair Pinto's committee, but this is one step, I think, toward really supporting Minnesota families.
Thank you, Representative Katiza Watun. We'll go to Representative Davids.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and a question for Mr. Klayman. You know, we're big on conformity here. We set the world record for conformity by one day a couple weeks
ago. Counting.
And who did you beat? But that being said, would this, Mr. Klayman, would this, and going through the chair, of course, would this be considered a deconformity bill?
Mr. Klayman.
Madam Chair and Representative Davids, yeah, I mean, I think you could call this a decoupling. I don't know if I'd say deconformity, but yeah, it decouples. Right now, the state credit is conforms to more of, you know, pieces of the federal credit, and to expand it, then it decouples from that.
Well, and thank you, and Madam
Representative Chair. Davids. Yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Normally, I would, you know, I'm a big conformity type of guy, but I like this. We're doing something better than the feds are doing it, and I hope we can all get behind this bill.
Thank you, Representative Davids. Representative Pinto.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I feel like I should take yes as an answer from Lee Davids. I don't know what I'm about to say, so I want to be careful. I don't somehow lose that. I guess I kind of want to respond a little bit to Representative Swedzinski's question and just kind of put this into broader context to the comment from We Make Minnesota as well. You know, it is true our system for child care and early learning is broken, and really it's been broken really, since we decided in the 1800s, we thought that brain development starts at age 5, and now we realize, wait a second, no, in fact, it starts a lot earlier than that. It is true that if we were to design a system from scratch, I think we'd design a very different system. And actually, if we were in position to say we're going to build a system that is affordable for every single family, is high quality for every single child, and pays the people who do the most important work in our society a decent wage, it would look like a different system, and it would, I'll just say, it would cost a substantial amount of money, and substantially more than this and what we're proposing potentially to spend in some other areas. So I agree with the criticisms and the concerns about doing this way, solving a social problem through tax credits, except that, given where I think we're likely to be, this is a really important tool that we have be available for us as we're thinking about our budget decisions in the course of the rest of the session. So this, to my mind, is part of a package that includes substantial investments directly in providing early care and learning to low-income families, because we know it's got the biggest difference in brain development. We've got to absolutely do that. And those families work, and they take care of themselves, and they have, we talk about the dignity of work, well, making sure the families have child care provides that. And we do a number of other things, but this is, and we also raise wages to people doing this work. But one important component of it is that you have to be pretty wealthy before you are not slammed with child care costs. And that then takes you out of the workforce, and that causes all kinds of economic problems. So I thank you so much, Representative Katiza Watun. You've been leading on this for years. And I guess I want to assure those who have concerns from whatever perspective that this is really a piece that we, to my mind, we really need right now, given everything else that we're doing. That doesn't mean it's the only piece, but it's a piece that I think we kind of have to have available to us as a tool. So I really appreciate you, Madam Chair, giving this bill an airing and a hearing, and thanks, Representative Katiza Watun.
Thank you, Representative Pinto. Representative Norris.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just want to piggyback off of some of the comments of Chair Pinto. I've got a lot of middle-income households in my district, and when I talk to a lot of my constituents, one of the biggest things they wrestle with is the cost of childcare. Many of the households, both parents are working, but, you know, the extreme cost of childcare is making them question, you know, does it make sense for both of us to be in the workforce? So at a time when, as a state, we're wrestling with a shortage of workers, this seems to be one piece, as we said. It's not the silver bullet, but it's an important piece in the puzzle to help those middle-income folks with the cost of childcare, keeping them in our workforce. And then I think we also need to continue to look at what can we do with CCAP, scholarships, other things to help some of those lower-income families as well, who obviously are burdened by childcare as well. But this will do a lot of good in my district, and I'm looking forward to supporting it, and thank the author for bringing it forward.
Thank you, Representative Norris. Anyone else? thank you. I'm just going to say a few things. I appreciate Chair Pinto's comments. We're lucky we have the early child, well, family and children's chair. So, he oversees early childhood investment, and we have our K-12 chair, E-12 chair on the committee as well, because, you know, those are, you know, big areas of our budget and big areas of need in our communities. And so I'm really thankful for that perspective being brought to these conversations that we're having about how we fund the public good in our state. I was looking for what I remember when we heard this bill last time, that the year before, that I had an exchange with Representative McDonald, who was serving on this committee at that time, about our relative investment in babies, in birth to five, which, as Chair Pinto pointed out, we know so much more now than we used to know about how critical those years are. And, elsewhere across the developed world, it's common to have, in Europe, there's an average of, when you have a baby, you get 14 months on average of paid leave. And so, you know, there's a little bit of a contradiction if you don't support paid leave and you want to talk about how it is that we can help, you know, parents connect with their children, or help, if we could just keep side conversations quiet, at least, or maybe not in existence at this time, that would be great. Thank you. So just that there's a little bit of a contradiction if you don't support leave for parents when they have babies, but you want to use a tax credit to support leave for parents when they have babies. The reality is that we are an extreme outlier in our lack of investment in our youngest people, in our babies, in our children, in our society. In the U.S., the average investment in early childhood across the states is $500 a year. Across the rest of the developed world, it's more like $12,000 or $13,000, so 25 times what we pay, roughly. To Chair Pinto's points, it's sort of one of those things where, like, we pay now or we pay later in a lot of different ways, right? So we pay in our public systems down the road for our failure to give all children in our state a great start. We pay in the form of, unequal, and it's not just an economic cost, right? It's the human cost of not ensuring that every child, regardless of their background, their zip code, their race or ethnicity, you know, what the income of their family is, has an opportunity to achieve everything that they can in their lives. I want us to be clear, as has been referred to, we can't tax credit our way out of all of our social problems. We can't tax credit our way out of dysfunctional systems. We can't tax credit our way out of being extreme outliers in the developed world in the way that we choose to invest in our families and our babies. This bill is a part of the bigger picture, as we've been talking about. but it really, it does not address the fact, this was the other thing that I just found. Okay, median hourly wage for a preschool teacher in the United States, $14.67 an hour. Median wage for a kindergarten teacher, right, who's probably still not making a great living, $32.80 an hour. So that's the difference from when you go, you know, from the universal system that we all have, you know, that we all pay for, kindergarten to 12th grade, which we've decided as a society in the 18-somethings, that was worth us all coming together and saying, you know what, all kids, regardless of their background, should have access to educational opportunities. But we're really leaving 0 to 5-year-old kids to the kind of vagaries of their family's economic position. And we have to really be clear about whether that's what the decision that we want to make. And if we want to address both, right, this piece addresses the cost to families, which is a huge concern, right? To Representative Norris's point, even families who are doing pretty well economically, it's like you really have to be making a lot of money for this not to truly impact your bottom line. And I don't know how many of us are raising little ones right now, but this has changed a lot. Like, my kid's 10. I mean, it's gotten worse since he was a baby, like way worse. You know, it just kind of gets worse and worse and worse. And if it's been decades since you had a little one, it's like many, many times worse than it was the last time that you had to interact with this system. So this addresses the cost for certain families, again, for families who can afford, who aren't having to make that calculation of, like, if you know, Representative Katiza Watoon, right, when you get to the point where you're like, you have 2 or 3 kids under 5, it's like, at what point is it worth it for you to go to work economically? At what point are you just going to work to pay your childcare bills? And we have this workforce issue, and so we have to acknowledge, right, that even a solution like this, it you know, it cuts costs for families who are able to make the decision to pay up front and be able to wait till tax time to get a rebate check. It doesn't address the fact that so many people across our state just don't have access. You know, the waiting lists, especially for infant care, are just endless. And our workers, the workers who we're entrusting with this really important, critical work, we're really underpaying them so intensely. I mean, if you're making $14 an hour, it's less than $30,000 a year. I mean, it's very hard to make a living, make a way for yourself, let alone if you have children yourself, on that kind of wage. So I guess I just, I'm thankful that we're having this conversation. I think it's really important that we keep in mind as we're making decisions in the tax committee, what are people's personal economies looking like in their houses? You know, how are people, you know, juggling the realities of, you know, we're going to talk about student debt tomorrow. So how are people juggling the realities of, like, oh, when you have kids, you still owe $80,000 in student debt, and then people are having kids a little later, and so, you know, there are a lot of people who are in this position of having little ones they're trying to care for, parents who are elderly, and they're still carrying student loans. And so, you know, that's sort of a different economic reality than I think families have been facing in previous decades. And so I'm just thankful that we're having that conversation. I hope that as we move through our work, that we keep in mind all of the families across the state who are struggling to find high quality, affordable, accessible care for their kids, and that we think about the workers who are taking a huge pay cut to do this work that, you know, if you talk to childcare workers, it's like they do it because they love it, right? They do it because it's a drive, and it's a calling for so many of those childcare providers, whether they're in whatever the setting is. You know, it's not something that anybody does to rake in the cash. So I thank you, Representative Katiza Watoon, for bringing this bill forward, and look forward to continuing to have this conversation and for us to think about how it is that we're helping working class families and middle class families afford their lives as we're pushing our tax policy forward. Representative Kosnick, did you have something? Yeah, I just saw you pulled your...
Yeah, you were triggering me, but I'm good.
Oh, am I triggering the conservatives today in tax committee? Look out. Sorry. Okay. Is there any further discussion? I didn't mean to go on a rant and then just close it out, but I guess here we are. Representative Katiza Watun, did you have any closing comments before we lay your bill over? Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I certainly appreciate you sharing your thoughts with us. And the committee has such important work to do this year. I think, you know, we all know that we have a historic surplus. I think that, you know, in addition to a historic tax cut via the Great Start for the dependent care and child care tax credit could be one piece of an amazing investment in the future of Minnesota. And I appreciate the committee's consideration. I think this is a bipartisan bill. It's, you know, it prioritizes family economic security and it helps support our workforce. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Representative Katiza Watun. And with that, House File 9 is laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. So our next meeting is tomorrow. I think we're going to cancel Thursday because the bill author for the bill we were supposed to hear has a conflict. So you guys are going to have Thursday afternoon off, unless Chair Lislegard wants to haul everybody in here or wants to use it for a property tax committee time. But I think we're just going to we're going to let you all off the hook. Tomorrow we're going to hear a couple of bills about student loan debt. And so, you know, just kind of broadly as we're working through this week, and this won't come as a surprise to you guys, but I am trying to just get us to think about those household economies that people are facing, and, you know, especially kind of moderate income families. So we're going to bring the student loans into this conversation tomorrow. And with that, we are adjourned.